Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast contains adult themes, sexual content, and strong language. Basically, all the good stuff.
Hi guys, welcome back to My Dad Wrote a Porno. I've got James Cooper, hi.
Hello.
I've got Alice Levine.
Hola.
Hola chica.
Hola. I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
I've had a good day.
Have you?
Well,
all right, sure.
I've managed to... Your dad's been trying to palm off a boat to me for the last couple of months.
Is he still on about that?
Yeah, he's got this old rickety fucking boat, like no engine. I think the roof's rotting off.
Yeah, that's Little Nelly, yeah.
Little Nelly, that's the one.
I don't think it's been sea-bound for many years, has it?
No.
He told me you just use it to drink hot chocolate in.
And a lot of wine.
Yeah.
At New Year.
Fine.
And basically he doesn't know where to put it anymore, so he's like, James, you can have it for free. I was like, I don't want to... I think one day I said I like the sea, and he was like, James, you must have a boat. So now he's been trying to palm this boat off to me. But I found someone at work today who wants the boat.
Did you?
You're joking.
Yeah, so I've passed it on to them. So now him and Rocky can kind of do a deal.
Hang on, wait. It's part of my inheritance, Little Nelly.
Little Nelly's sailing away, Jamie. If you want it, you better...
Say goodbye to Nelly, Jamie.
I mean, I don't really want Nelly. I just don't want anybody else
So
to
were you
going
to be like one of those people in the 80s that won a speedboat on a game show and had to have it on their front
yeah,
garden?
I was like, I don't know where I'm going to put it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
You live in central London.
Exactly.
Well... Wherever this is.
Oh my God, you fucking snob.
He's such a snob.
You live on the cusp of zone two, so do you want to check
I'm out? Zone one, mate.
So what does today's episode hold?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Alice, because today's episode is pots, pans and spoons.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
We don't know if that means they also produce those or if that's some reference to, well, maybe the special one somehow.
How on earth would it be a reference to the special one?
I'm still hoping that we're going to come back to that.
You're literally grasping at spoons.
I really am.
Right. Should we delve in?
Let's delve in.
Okay. Belinda Blinked 4, Chapter 6. Pots, Pans and Spoons. It was 4:09 when Belinda's Jag pulled into the Steels Pots and Pans car park.
Back at the office, we're back to the office.
No one goes back to the office when it's 4:09. You call it a day, don't you?
Yeah.
I know you do, James. I've seen you.
You see what he's flogging with his boats. She grabbed her briefcase, but left her overnight bag full of slinky negligees, kimonos and bloomers in the car.
They are always good to have on hand.
I love that two of those are elegant and then one of them's bloomers.
There isn't really a sexy version of a bloomer, is there?
Bloomers are like huge granny boxers, aren't they?
Like billowing pants that gather at the knee, I always think.
With a frilly kind of...
finish.
Yeah.
But they're very voluminous.
Yeah, they're kind of billowy, aren't they?
Yes,
yeah. A lot of air in a bloomer.
Absolutely.
But also, who wears a kimono?
Yeah, more to the point. Sorry, I'm focusing on entirely the wrong thing.
I kind of have to go with her on that, though. What I'm picturing is a sort of silk dressing gown, but a bit Japanesey.
Oh, okay.
Which could be a bit sexy.
Yeah, that could actually, to be fair. She'd brought it as a precaution, as there was no telling how long this particular meeting would take.
That 4:09 meeting, very precise.
That's the kind of time I turn up for a 3:30 meeting.
Yes, it is.
Tony was waiting at the front doors, looking harassed.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Because she's late, maybe.
This better be good, Blumenthal. I've cut my honeymoon short for this.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
So she's called it. She's called this emergency meeting.
She's called this 4:09.
Do you think this is about FBI? Do you think this is like her trying to figure out what's going on with Helga and the
FBI? No, do you?
Fucking hope so. So she's pulled him off his honeymoon for whatever this is about.
Don't say pulled him off, but he has returned.
She's pulled him off his honeymoon.
I think Giselle's pulling him off his honeymoon every night.
Every night? You're so formal.
Every day.
Every
second.
It's nighttime. We can consummate the marriage now.
When the sun goes down, then we can kiss.
No one has sex in the daylight. Where did they go? Do you remember?
Scunthorpe, probably.
Oh, do you think they were UK based?
I think they had a staycation. I imagine Tony's the kind of guy who's like, buy British. So he's like, we can stay at home and we'll go to Skegness.
This better be good, Blumenthal. I've cut short my honeymoon for this. Oh, it is, sir, replied Belinda. Thanks to me and my network of associates, we've been given advance warning on what could be a major disaster for this very company we call home.
James, you are on it.
We call home. She literally lives there. She's so
Are you going
sad.
Home? Yeah, I'm going home, yeah. Oh, you're not going to the office? Oh, sorry, that's what I call home. Home, home.
It's got to be. It's got to be the spy. This has got to be a meeting about the spy.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's an emergency meeting.
They walked down the corridor past Maeve on reception, who smiled suspiciously at the business-like faces of Belinda and her boss.
We've already put that to bed.
Rocky's really trying to pin it on Maeve, isn't he?
Poor Maeve. She's just a country girl.
What has Maeve ever done to anyone?
Smiled suspiciously. She's just smiling.
Good afternoon, sir. Mrs. Blumenthal.
Oh.
Can I help with anything?
Is that Maeve's voice?
Maeve's old, isn't she? I was
oh, shut
young.
Up.
Is that the first time she's spoken?
What, to be more jovial?
Why does Maeve sound like Rocky?
Literally identical to Rocky.
Because Irish. Good afternoon, sir. Mrs. Blumenthal, can I help you with anything?
No, snapped Tony, as they turned into the leather room.
Wait, do you think that Tony suspects Maeve?
Tony doesn't know what's going on because he's been on his honeymoon.
Yeah.
Oh, but also before he didn't really know what was going on, did
Tony
he?
Tony never knows what's
never
going
knows
on.
Never knows what's going on. Okay, fine.
He hired Belinda. He knows nothing about what's going
okay,
on.
Okay, yeah, he's a bad decision maker.
Also, I love that they've got an important meeting, so they're going to have it in the leather room.
I think they're
going to
have it in the leather room.
She's going to pull him off in the leather room.
Those gin and tonics on that trolley, hello.
As the doors closed behind them, Tony took a pair of black leather gloves off the hook at the back of the room.
He's going to catch a falcon.
Is he going to strangle her?
How odd. Belinda had never noticed them before. He proceeded to put them on and stroke the leather-clad walls mystically.
Actually, you wouldn't... Like, black leather on black leather, of course you're not going to spot gloves hanging on a wall if everything's fucking leather.
I don't think of it as being black leather, is it? Black leather.
I thought it was black leather tiles.
I imagined it so.
I think of it as grey. A grey? Light dove grey.
Oh, no, not in the leather room, no.
Not very easily cleaned.
Well, no, that's what I always thought. Because even if you put, like, a glass of water on leather, like, you get a ring.
Very porous.
Ever so porous.
No, I thought it was, like, a deep black... Deep black. Black.
All right, Rocky.
He proceeded to put them on and stroke the leather-clad walls mystically.
Hang on, is this a secret door or something? Is he about to open a fucking secret door?
Oh, good shout.
Leather on leather was a form of key. And all of a sudden...
Oh, shut up.
The large hide cubes started to shift and move.
Fuck off. Oh, what do you mean leather on leather is a key? What do you mean? Leather on leather is a key.
Don't look at me. I didn't write it.
What technology detects leather on leather and then makes the whole room shift?
Just like a magic jigsaw puzzle, the walls began to reveal a long corridor of light.
Oh my God.
Yes, like a magic jigsaw puzzle. Like magic. Like something that doesn't exist.
With good, solid chrome doors at the end.
Fucking hell.
There's a secret room in the secret leather room. Oh my God.
And this is just your bog standard, like, office block.
Yeah.
Someone would notice.
You'd think.
No, they're too busy fucking in there. They wouldn't notice a thing.
No, but, like, do people even know about the leather room? Is the leather room, like, for executives? Sexecutives? And they're, like, so you've got to hide the leather room, and now you've clearly got to hide this, like, massive corridor with chrome doors at the end.
Yeah.
You'd spot it, sure. You'd be like, what's that?
A warren.
Yeah.
A sex warren. A swarren.
The hydraulic doors swooshed open.
Hydraulic? Okay, just... Rocky, we'll go with you so far. Hydraulic. And like James says, a long corridor. How do you not look out of the window of your office and go, that's not outside, that's internal. So what's that bit there? Like, how do you not question it?
Yeah. Can anyone hear hydraulic doors? It's not something you can mask very well.
The hydraulic doors swooshed open. And at the end of a space-age long table... sat Sir...
Sir Cliff Richard.
Sir Lenny Henry.
Sir Cliff Richard is hidden in a room at the end of the leather room.
Is Sir Bono there?
The hydraulic door was swooshed open, and at the end of a space-age long table sat Sir James Godwin's mighty body.
His body? And what, his head in a jar?
He is the belt from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
This is exciting.
I mean, it's going on batshit, but I'm loving it.
No, but I love finding new bits of like the world
of The Office.
Yeah, literally of The Office. Honestly, I love finding new floors in my office. I'm like, ooh.
At the end of a space age long table sat Sir James Godwin's mighty body.
Just to clarify, space age long table, how's that different to a normal long table? Obviously, it's not like a kind of oak country house table, but...
I imagine maybe it's got lights coming out of it.
Metallic.
Yeah, like dry maps ice. On it.
Yeah.
Oh, dry ice, yeah,
that's
definitely.
Good. Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
goes like... Beep, boop, boop, boop.
So it's a sort of 50s version of the future, right, yeah. got you.
It's just BB-8, basically.
Yeah.
Shit, said Sir James gruffly. Speak.
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 Oh.
In character.
Speak.
It only took Belinda 10 minutes to tell all to her bosses. At the end of the brief presentation, Tony had turned cream.
Cream. Cream.
Cream.
Cream.
Or white, maybe like off-white.
Off-white. Maybe. He's
like
off-white.
Worried.
Maybe Rocky thinks that when people turn white, it's a bit... Like, you don't turn, like, emulsion white.
It's not believable, is it?
No. You know. Cream. You do turn cream. You're still creamy.
He's creamy. He's milky.
We're also presuming that Tony's Caucasian. He may have turned cream.
That's true. Oh. No one's race has ever been verified.
No. No.
Could be super diverse, for all we know.
At the end of the brief presentation, Tony had turned cream. And Sir James buried his head in his hands and wept.
Oh, God.
What did she tell them?
Well, I think we can guess.
The cubicle confessions. The
cubicle confessions. Don't know why it took 10 minutes.
Yeah, Helga's in the FBI.
I believe you, Belinda, and your FBI source, Helga. It actually all fits some amazing advances in our development team at the factory. Professor Slints.
Slints.
Professor.
Professor Slints.
Professor of what, pray tell?
I think it's Slints. S-L-I-N-Z.
Slints. Oh, okay.
Slints.
I kind of like the Slints.
Some amazing advances our development team at the factory, especially Professor Slints, have been working on. We call it the Trioxybrillo range. And to be honest... It's a world beater.
Were we not supposed to know about the
Trioxybrillo? We already know about that.
No, we don't. We only know about it because of Bish.
Bish knows about it.
Yeah.
So even Belinda didn't know about the Trioxybrillo range.
Well, you don't know that.
But he's telling her now.
But we don't know that she doesn't already know.
So we don't know if she knows that she doesn't know that he knows.
But James Godwin doesn't know if she knows or if she shouldn't know or doesn't know.
Exactly. Whatever that was. Yes.
Should she know? No.
No. No one should know apart from Professor Slints.
Can I see Professor Slints' diploma, please? Just up close.
We call it the Trioxybrillo range. And to be honest, it's a world beater.
Tony whistled through his teeth. Yeah, I don't think it was like a bird song.
Why is Tony just like, la-di-da, bam-ba-dum.
Already knew, la-la, already knew.
Tony whistled through his teeth. This could be worth millions to the company.
Billions,
echoed Sir James.
Billions.
That wasn't... Also, not an echo. When you say millions and someone else says billions, it's an entirely different word.
It's a defective echo.
Millions. Billions.
Is there an echo in here?
Millions, billions.
So they're saying that the Trioxybrillo range is worth billions. They're not even saying that Steels is worth billions. Just this range on its own is worth billions.
Yeah. And also, it's the Trioxybrillo. So it's just a slight improvement on the Oxybrillo, which actually lost them money, I think, if we're right in thinking.
Yeah, but you should see what they've done with it. Fucking hell. They've invented spoons or something, so...
Oh, yeah, they've added a spoon. That's the
Trioxybrillo. A three-handled spoon, so...
It's a world beater. Billions, echoed Sir James. It's a revolutionary metal design developed by Slints. That, and our recent uplift in sales, will make us number one worldwide.
Number one what?
And that's the reason someone wants to steal the blueprints.
Belinda! She's twigged!
added Belinda. They want to make the money... Rather than us.
She's a sharp one.
She's good at two.
She's really put two and two together and 55 minutes later got four.
Thank you for bringing us up to speed, Belinda. We hadn't got that 20 chapters ago.
That was some really good exposition though, wasn't it? Just catch the audience up. Catch them right up.
Oh, she is a basic bitch.
Sir James set up his old-fashioned flip chart, which had never failed him. He handed the magic marker pen to Belinda and said, "Let's brainstorm."
So he's at a space-age futuristic table, but he will still go with the flip chart.
Yeah. Old habits die
hard. I kind of like that. I'm like a pen and pad girl myself, so.
I bet he uses one of those overhead projectors where you put the, like, see-through.
I loved those.
Obsessed. And it was the biggest honour if you were the person to swap it over in assembly.
Who got to operate it, yeah.
And do you remember the teachers that used to cover up the lyrics that you were going to get to?
Yes.
And then bring them down line at a time and then whip it off.
Did you ever have a teacher who drew onto the acetate as it was projecting?
Yes, what? That was very clever.
Very clever, wasn't it?
That's advanced, because wouldn't you have to do it backwards?
Yeah. I think so, yeah. What?
It was a very unusual technology. It was a series of mirrors, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very odd, yeah. Odd but effective.
Oh, I loved that.
Let's brainstorm.
Sir James, I met Jim Walters from Apollo Security Agencies at the Epsom Pile.
Eh? Who's that?
You know, that dinner party that the Duchess held.
Yes.
He was there. Jim Walters.
Oh, yeah, we were like, why is he there? Yeah.
Rocky plants seeds and he knows what he's doing with them. Like, we've got to start believing in the guy. Either that or it was just really handy that he mentioned him. And he was like, yeah, Jim Walters, yeah.
He's ex-MI6 and still has good contacts, especially in the industrial espionage departments. Is he worth retaining to help us with this problem? Sir James pondered the request for a second or so, and said,
"What are you talking about?"
Also, a second. Yes.
Or so, James. A second or so.
Let me think about it. Yes.
Yes. Let's get some security on Professor Slintz. He's the key man in this project. And if they kidnapped him, it would be the same as stealing the blueprints.
Or just steal the blueprints.
Yeah, forget about Slintz.
I never want to forget about Slintz. I love Slintz.
I'm now hearing Forgot About Slintz to the tune of Forgot About Dre, which is excellent, by the way. If anybody can do that for us, that'd be wonderful.
I'll ring him now and get this all in motion.
Who, Slintz or Jim Walters?
Jim Walters.
You two continue the brainstorm and let's see what you can dig up.
I'm still confused about what the brainstorm's for.
Comes back in, they've thought of names for, like, a spoon.
Because surely what they were trying to think of was a way to combat this leak.
Which they now have.
Which they just have, which is Jim.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Sir James left the room. Tony looked quizzically at Belinda and said, "God, Belinda, I don't know who the real spies are. You or our competitors?" He laughed and took the marker pen from her.
Wait a sec, sorry. If Belinda is the special one, would she leak this information so that she found out what their plan was to combat the leak? Do you see what I mean? So would she tell them...
To find out where the blueprints were.
Yeah, so that they tell her, because she didn't know about Slintz.
Because now she knows about Slintz and the trioxybrillo range.
No, I'm sorry, she's too thick for that. I don't know.
But is she feigning ignorance when she's like, "And that's why they want to make the money"?
No, she's just thick.
Okay.
But that would mean that she would have Jim already on her side. She would have groomed Jim.
Oh, right.
So then Jim will find out all this information and feed it back to her because she's on the inside. Yeah. Quite literally, she's on the inside of this long corridor.
I just don't think she's smart enough for that. I don't think Rocky's smart enough for that.
Okay, now you're using an argument I can go on board with.
But if that is what turns out to have happened, that's pretty amazing. She's playing the game very carefully, the game of chess. She's getting all the pieces in place.
Almost like a jigsaw.
Almost like a leather jigsaw controlled by leather gloves.
Precisely.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So Tony took the marker pen from her.
Yeah.
Now, Who are our most ferocious competitors in the marketplace? Whose nose have we put out of joint the most since you've arrived at our little company?
Oh, because they don't even know who's trying to spy at this stage.
Sorry, little company or the biggest company in the world?
They're about to become the biggest worldwide.
But they're little right now. Amazing.
Ha! Belinda replied. That's an easy one. It's the Germans. Bisch Herstellung from Berlin. They hate us. Tony wrote down the word Bisch on the flip chart.
But not Herstellung, because he doesn't know how to spell it.
I'd have just written down Bisch.
Any others? Possibly Monroe Corp.
What? Do we know them?
Possibly Monroe Corp from the States, after Bella's Jim Sterling deal. And of course, the Japanese conglomerate, Haido Seiki.
Oh, of course! Duh!
All the biggest competitors.
Sylvester and Blumenthal, the worst cop duo ever.
I want to see that spin-off. And of course, the Japanese conglomerate, Haido Seiki. But overall...
Sorry, I love a game of Haido Seiki.
But overall, I would go for Bisch. Tony wrote the other two names up and studied them for a good long while.
Tony's like, sorry, how do you spell Haido Seiki?
He then wrote the nationality of the company under it.
This man is brilliant.
He immediately put a line through Monroe of the USA and wrote under it FBI/CIA/Helga.
This is a great brainstorm.
Don't explain your workings, will you, Tony?
He then did the same with Haido Seiki.
Why?
Oh, why? What?
And wrote under it, small sales presence in Europe.
Oh, rendering them an unlikely suspect.
Indeed.
Although you can be one of the smallest fishes in the market and then become the biggest company in the world. So don't look at them in a snooty fashion.
Don't underestimate them. Haido Seiki will overtake you.
This is such a fucking embarrassing effort.
I'm surprised T-Fell's not on there.
Or Typhoid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Le Creuset.
Yeah. Surely they're bigger fish.
Tony studied the Bisch column well, with Germany written under it.
Literally the only column left.
He added Berlin. Then East Berlin.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Belinda swiped the pen from him and added underneath Amsterdam and Helga. She then ringed the words Berlin and Amsterdam and added FBI Europe. She then calmly drew a straight line between them. Bingo!
This is so painful.
Bingo! Got it!
I honestly felt like that took about 2 hours.
Bingo, said Tony.
This is so stupid.
Belinda blinked.
Oh, that hasn't happened for a while.
Seconds later, seconds later, Sir James returned, beaming and pointed at Belinda.
You, Belinda, have a meeting at the Pentra at 9 p.m. tonight with Jim Walters' MI6 contact.
Really? You want to meet at the Pentra, which is where everybody from the company meets?
And also, Belinda's barred from the Pentra, isn't she?
He'll make contact with you at the Long Bar, where you and the Glee team drink.
Yeah, ideal. Great. So so inconspicuous.
Yeah, mouthy Bella at the end of the bar, like, what are you doing, Belinda?
Of all the places in the world that they could meet.
Yeah, they deserve to get hacked.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Belinda moved to leave the top secret modern meeting room.
But remember, there is a mole loose in this organisation. Utter of this to no one.
Utter of this?
Utter of this to no one.
Pray tell me this. Utter of this to no one.
Not even the kindly ladies or valued spouses of Steels, Pots and Pans.
So keep it in the family.
Tony's face fell to the mirrored desk.
It was mirrored. Oh, there my.
You go. That's why it's space age.
Oh, lovely.
Mirrored.
Oh, you wouldn't want that, though, in a meeting, would you? Like, you could see a double chin on the table.
That'd be awful when you're writing your notes.
It's like when you look in your phone and it's the camera's the wrong way around.
Oh! I do that all the time. I'm like, what is that beast? Oh.
I'm like, kill it!
Out, devil!
The three of us are as wide as this gets. Now, get going now.
Now, get going now.
And Belinda, thanks.
Belinda smiled at Sir James's gratitude and left immediately for London.
She's in London, isn't she?
She's literally in London.
That's where the offices are.
And also she's going further out of London to get to the Pentra.
The Pentra Long Bar was busy.
Oh, is that a subdivision of the Pentra, the Long Bar?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I think the Long Bar's in the middle of the bar. It's just a Long Bar.
Okay.
The Pentra Long Bar was busy as Belinda ordered her first gin and tonic of the day from Paddy the bartender.
Oh, great. So not only could she bump into people from work, but the bar staff know her so well that any conversation she has with a stranger who's going to be super conspicuous, they'll notice. Brilliant.
She relaxed back into her bar stool. She'd fall off it, wouldn't she?
It's only so far you can relax.
She relaxed back into her bar stool and looked around for men lounging against doorways in long trench coats, quietly tapping their ears as they communicated with their handlers.
So that's what she thinks he's going to look like. Is that what he looked like? He had a trench coat on and a trilby. And what, he had an earpiece in?
Earpiece, yeah.
That's what she thinks spies look like, clearly.
If he does look like that, I'll be livid.
But she couldn't identify any. Half an hour passed, but nothing happened.
Shit, that's bad. If you're supposed to meet an agent and they don't turn up.
Yeah. She ordered another gin and tonic. Paddy thought she'd been stood up and wished he was off duty.
Oh, God, I feel like something's going to happen with Paddy at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Paddy, welcome to the family. Nice to have you on.
I'm so sorry for what's about to happen, Paddy.
Paddy, quit while you still can.
Drinking on the job, Miss Blumenthal. Would Sir James approve?
Belinda looked to her left. One of a group of sales...
Shook it to the right.
Slam it to the front.
Belinda looked to her left. One of a group of salesmen had detached himself from the edge of his party and was talking to her.
She noticed that someone was talking to her.
Why is he talking for ages?
I've just noticed someone's been talking to me for quite a while.
For half an hour.
In fact, he was on time. I just forgot to open my eyes.
Leave me alone, chump. I've got a man to meet, Belinda barked.
Great bounce.
The very shame. Do you mind if I join you?
Oh my God.
So you're giving him a Sean Connery voice.
You're better than that. You're so much better than that.
Like father, like son, honestly. How excited he got about that.
I was toying with it today. I was like, should I do it? I won't do it. Oh, fuck it, I'll do it.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Sorry.
No, go on.
Belinda took a minute and looked him up and down. Decent, well-polished shoes. Goodish physique. A full head of dark hair. And to die for, smile.
This is like a crap version of what Sherlock does, isn't it? Because he's usually like, oh, like graphite under the nails. Yeah. Must be an artist and kind of does all that business. She's like, I like his jumper. Sweaty brow. It's like, great, thanks.
The name's Spooner. James Spooner.
Oh, for God's sake. James Spooner. So that's the Spoons?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And he's going to say, they call me Spoons as my nickname or something, is he?
Agent Spoons, yeah.
Oh, fuck's sake.
You're adding to this.
Spoons with a Z.
MC Spoons.
DJ Blumenthal.
Oh, fuck the Norse gods all at once, Belinda shrieked.
Not a saying.
You're the man I've been waiting for.
Yes, why is she so slow?
No, she's been waiting for Jim Walters.
No.
Oh, Jim Walters put her in contact with this guy, with James Spooner.
The MI6 guy.
Right.
They spent the next 2 hours getting to know each other. And then it was suddenly time to call it a night.
Didn't talk business once. So what do you do? Have you got any holidays planned this year?
Spooner walked Belinda to her suite door and kissed her deeply on the crown of her head.
What? Well, they've really bonded.
Where is the crown? Is that like there, the top of your head?
That's like right on the top, where a hat would go. Yeah. And is her door really sweet? I thought it was like a double-locked sort of industrial...
She must be staying at the Pentra.
Yeah. Spooner walked Belinda to her suite door and kissed her deeply on the crown of her head.
He wasn't saying, that is a sweet door.
No, but I thought he was saying it was, like, cute. It was like, look at the sweet little door to her house.
A little hobbit door.
Oh, God.
He said, good night.
Where's he from?
Good night.
He said, good night.
Good night.
But Scott, he would say, good night. Mm-hmm. Belinda felt her vagina moisten. It was never wrong. She wanted this spy to investigate her insides.
Oh, my God. Put together a dossier on this.
A thorough exploration was required, leaving no crease unturned.
Don't say crease.
No roll left unraveled.
She stroked the contours of his partially shaven cheek and with her other hand felt for his cock. It was aroused.
Oh, good. That's good.
Perfect, she thought.
How sweet.
That's just right.
She calmly unzipped him as he held her against her room door.
That sweet, sweet door.
He held her against it?
Mm.
Not like off the ground, though.
No, I just think like
by the
up
neck.
Against it. Yeah, yeah. Spooner took a step backwards to the opposite side of the corridor.
He's getting a run-up.
So they're still in the corridor. They haven't got into a room yet.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
He twisted his left cufflink 90 degrees.
Oh, God, and did another door open.
And aimed it right at her. A razor thin red laser beam pierced her forehead.
Shut up. It pierced her forehead.
She got a hole in her forehead.
Oh, no. What's happening? Wept Belinda's brain.
Oh, no, her head's filling up with tears.
Soggy old brain.
Oh, no. What's happening? Wept Belinda's brain. What if this was not who it seemed?
It very much looks that way.
Spooner slowly moved the cufflink downwards, and with it, the laser beam travelled past Belinda's eyelashes, over her upturned nose, down her puffy lips.
So she's got a little piggy nose.
Wait, he's not going to arouse her with the laser, is he?
And past her chin.
I think he is. I think it's going to turn into a dildo or something.
Do you know how lasers work? Turn into a dildo? Sorry, what?
Terrified, she began to smell smoke, and she looked downward, dreading the worst. Sure enough.
What? What's on fire?
The laser was burning her cocktail dress right down the middle.
Oh, for God's sake!
Hang on, how did it start getting hot when it got to her clothes and not, like, burn a massive line down
her face?
Well,
maybe she does have a burn line down, right down the middle of her face.
Maybe she's a droid and she's literally been sliced in two but is still alive.
So he's traced it, I'm guessing, from hairline all the way down her face, all the way down her nose, all the way over her mouth, like I said, but then it's hit the cocktail dress, like, at the boob level
up.
And it's just cutting through that fabric.
Look, MI6 have some gadgets that clearly know.
They've got some lovely cufflinks, haven't they?
They know when it's fabric and when it's flesh.
Of course, yeah, and of course. It's a bit like the leather detecting gloves. Like, they've got amazing technology. I mean, I'm not sure why anybody's worried about the Oxybrilla range. Market those fucking gloves. Market these fucking cufflinks.
You're sitting on a gold mine of technology.
Honestly. Laser cufflinks.
Sell that mirror table, if nothing else.
Job done.
Got thousands of pounds worth of gadgets.
Fucking hell.
Sure enough, the laser was burning her cocktail dress right down the middle. Past her breasts, over her belly button, all the way to her knees. It had even burned through her brassiere and favourite glitter thong.
Oh, that's such a shame, isn't it?
Glitter thong?
It's too much.
That's going to get up in all the wrong places.
Oh, I don't think it's dipped in glitter.
No, yeah, I think there's loose bits of glitter.
Oh, I thought it was like, yeah, Pritt stick and then sprinkle glitter on it.
Homemade glitter thong.
PVA, dipping glitter, let dry in the sun.
Suddenly, her dress, her undergarments, and her womanly secrets fell to the ground.
What fell to the ground? Her womanly secrets?
Womanly secrets.
Is that a euphemism for her bits?
I think just...
Oh, her...
Not that she has any secrets left to show anyone, but...
But like...
Her naked form.
I see what you mean, but her naked form didn't fall to the floor, did it?
No, sorry. Her inhibitions fell with the dress.
Right.
I think.
God, that laser's strong.
Yeah, we thought nothing could get to those. Her womanly secrets fell to the ground either side of her naked body.
He's pretty smooth, this Spooner, isn't he?
Either side. So it's fallen in two halves.
Yeah.
So it's weird because it's not cut through a body, has it?
No.
But it's cut down the middle.
No, remember, it detects fabric, not flesh.
Yeah. So everything's in one piece. It's not in two pieces. It's not fallen either side.
Oh, yeah, she hasn't turned around. He hasn't turned around.
No, but maybe it kind of just like fell a bit to the side and then it just fell
right
around the back. I don't know.
Okay, cool.
Her eyes moved upwards and gazed into her opposite number.
Can you do those at the same time? Can you do laser eye surgery on those?
Yeah.
Just zap them.
Great. Spooner winked with a devilish charm.
Oh, Spooner, you cad, you.
Belinda blinked.
What?
That's the end of the
chapter. Oh, fuck. Oh, I love this bit.
Oh, that's clever.
Getting a bit good, isn't it?
That was fun. Yeah, finally. What are we, chapter six?
Because we still don't know if he's a goodie or a baddie, because often they shag, don't they? But it doesn't mean it's a goodie.
No.
He
could be a double agent.
I liked the way he, like, for a second, you didn't know what side he was on, if he was going to kill her, and then he just cut her dress off with the non-flesh-eating fabric-cutting laser.
Yes.
Mm.
Whatever it's called.
I love that recap, James. Thank you.
So we're really starting to get somewhere with the special one. It feels like we're finally on the path to finding out who it's going to be.
Well, it's actually become part of the story again, because I thought we'd forgotten all the espionage and forgotten all of the kind of double-crossing.
Mm. So Tony, Sir James and Belinda, they know what's going on.
Yes.
But Belinda could still be the special one.
Mm.
And they know there's a mole in the... Like, they basically know everything we know now.
Yeah.
Everyone's up to speed.
Yeah.
Finally.
Oh, my God. And now the investigation commences.
All they need is a biro and a bit of flip chart. And just draw some lines and they'll figure it out. Just write Bella, Giselle, and just write a line between Bingo!
And Maeve.
Sorry.
Guys, please. It was a magic marker. So.
Oh, yeah. 1,000 apologies.
It really has to be a magic marker.
It only works that way.
That was exciting.
It was, wasn't it?
What's the next chapter called?
The next chapter is called Copier Blues.
Copier Blues.
Like photocopier.
I've no idea what it means.
Cool. I got those copier blues.
Copier blues are calling.
The toner's run out. Ba-da-da-da-da. They're probably just copying their arse on the photocopier.
I'd read a chapter of that. Copier blues. I mean, blueprints, blues.
Ooh.
Copier the blueprints.
Copier the blues, am I right?
That's quite a good guess, actually.
Yes, if that tempts you back next week, we shall return for chapter 7.
Ooh. If you want to get in touch in the meantime, you can do that on Instagram, My Dad Wrote Her.
You can do it on Twitter, Dad Wrote a Porno.
We have a flip chart and magic markers. You can email us at mydadwroteaporno@gmail.com and keep up to date, as always, by signing up to our mailing list over on mydadwroteaporno.com.
Thanks, as always, to Acast for hosting this podcast.
Yep, and we'll see you next week, but we better go because we've got to go and babysit Professor Slints now.
He might get kidnapped.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.